Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're live tonight. This is March the 14th, year 2014. And I still don't know where the year is going. It's going so fast. But we missed last week because we were in Albuquerque at a conference about healers. It was called the Gathering of the Healers in Albuquerque. And that was a good experience. It's a difference in the altitude. But it was, we were there for the weekend. That's why it wasn't on the radio last week. But we're live tonight, and we are open. It's an open line. Anybody who wants to call in and ask questions is perfectly fine. So let's give out the toll-free number if you want to call in. 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And we were supposed to have Travis Walton on again, you know, before, 2 weeks ago. We had a mix-up, and he didn't get through till the end of the show. So we scheduled him again, and something happened again.
It has something to do with the time. So either we're not understanding the time difference or something. So
yeah.
Anyway.
So we've been trying to get him on the line here, but he's not answering. He may come in later, but I really wanted to interview Travis for the rest of you because he has such a fascinating story that his story and the book and everything was turned into the movie Fire in the Sky. But he's definitely one of our speakers for the UFO conference. So we can speak about the UFO conference.
Yeah, so if you want to know about Travis, you just have to come to the conference.
That's what it looks like.
Yes. You want to know his story.
Yeah, and it's quite an interesting story, very fascinating. But last week, we began to talk about the conference, and then we got a lot of call-ins. And so if you have any questions, that's fine. We'd be willing to answer them. I'm enjoying this time now where we're not really doing anything. We got back.
Well, speak for yourself. You think doing something is traveling. We're working plenty.
Yeah, we're working all the time, but we had snow again before we got back, wasn't it? And it melted, yeah, right by the time we got back. But I don't enjoy sitting around being snowed in anyway. And I think the rest of the country is beginning to melt. Let's hope so.
Well, I think they're getting this next blast that's going to come through and get some more snow in the middle and the northeast.
Yeah, by the next end of the week, they said it's spring, but we've had snow as late as April. So, anyway, I'm ready for it all to stop.
Ready for spring. Summer. Early summer. The nice 70s.
Well, even in Albuquerque, it wasn't that bad. It was nice temperatures. Everybody said, don't you think it's beautiful here? And I said, no, it's too flat. We're used to mountains and forests, so there's a difference. Every place in the world is beautiful, has its own beauty, but there's a lot of places I wouldn't want to live. Okay. Is everybody each to their own? Well, we're going to talk about the UFO conference, which is coming up pretty fast, and we're in the middle of trying to do the last-minute stuff and working out all the bugs and the details, and it's going right well.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We're on track.
Everything's on track. Tell them the dates of the conference.
April 11th to the 13th. It's the second weekend in April. It's always the second weekend in April in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. It'll be at the end of the Ozark that's been its home for 27 years. Well, except for 1 year, but anyway, it's been its home, and we're doing everything we can to keep it there, even though it's busting the seams of that place.
Oh, so, yeah, we don't know how we can possibly fit any more in, but we're really trying.
Yeah, we're going to get creative, and we're doing one thing this year, and then next year we'll see what we need to do from there, and just finding creative solutions.
It's the oldest UFO conference in the United States. And last year, I mean, it was the biggest crowd we'd ever had. We had over 700 people, and it completely sold out with standing room only. And it's going to do that again.
It's moving quickly toward that, yes.
So it's going to be a big conference again. And we have some wonderful speakers in it. You said only except for 1 year. We've met there since the very beginning. We was figuring out, he had a reporter here early with a newspaper in Eureka Springs. We figured out it must have been about 1988 when we began.
I think that's right.
And we've been there every year. We began, we had 50 people in one little room. And that has grown from there, 50 people crammed into one little room.
I remember that year.
And then it's grown. First it was just the same, and then it's just been taken off, and it's been growing ever since. But the 1 year we weren't there was when they had a fire, and it burnt the whole convention center down. We had to, Lou was hoping he wouldn't have to do it. He said, maybe we can skip this year. It was in February, and if your April was coming up, he said, I don't know if I can get it in this place that quick. I said, no, we can't get out of it because everybody was signed up. So he got all over Eureka. He finally found a place we could have it, and that was the only year we ever moved it somewhere else. Then they rebuilt the convention center just like it is now, like it always was. This time they put in a sprinkler system. They didn't have one originally. So since then, we've always met in the same place, the Inn of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs. It's a beautiful area. It's a tourist area. But we keep trying to bring in new blood into this, speakers they've never had before. So they started out being very inventive, you know, innovative, because in those days, there wasn't a whole lot of UFO speakers out there. So we saw a lot of the new ones, and when it was first happening, and the very first reports, and all of that, and it's grown since then. So we know all the people who have been contributing to this. Of course, Linda Mouton Howell will be there. She's been there almost as long as I have, because I was there since day one. But I think she started about 3 or 4 years after, and she's been there every year. And she's got, every year she has something new to talk about because she is a reporter and she's always coming up with news that she's discovered. So this year she's going to be talking about something that they discovered in Turkey, which will be interesting because we're having Hakan come from Turkey.
Right.
And he might be able to add some insight into it.
So they can compare notes.
Because it's in his own backyard. But Hakan has the only UFO museum in Europe, because in Istanbul is where the border of Europe and Asia is. So it's the only one there, and it's quite large. I haven't seen it, but I know we have our books there, and he has all the pictures and films that he can get from all over the world is stored there. And he's going to be bringing films and talking about cases been in that part of the world that we don't get over here. So that's going to be his, but he's going to be one of the speakers.
Right.
We're bringing him all the way from Istanbul. I'm trying to remember what we talked about last time. We got started on it, and they still kept trying to get Travis online.
Right, and then we had several callers, so that, you know,
we kind of fouled it up.
I think we got through here, and then these are the speakers that were left.
Okay, but
we can go ahead and go recap again.
All right, but Travis, I mean, Hakan is got a lot of information, and he's very well respected as a UFO investigator. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with. And Nick Pope is going to come. People are always saying, when are they going to the governments of the world going to reveal what they know about UFOs? When are they going to open up their files? Especially the U.S. Everybody over here, the government just keeps denying there is any such thing. That seems so funny to me. I don't want to go to a conference where they're trying to convince you UFOs are real. We know they're real.
Right.
We don't have any doubt at all. But a lot of conferences are still doing that, still focusing on that. But with Nick Pope, he is used to work for the British Intelligence Agency. And so he knows about the British government has opened up their files on UFOs, and he's going to be speaking on what they have disclosed. They always talk about the Disclosure Project. Well, it is happening. On what they have disclosed, and he said what they won't disclose. And also, he was on CNN, where he was in Canada, when Canada was opening their files and talking about, we know they're real. And he was talking to some kind of a minister of defense or something, and he says, we don't have any doubt at all. Then how can anybody deny they're real? So he's going to be showing all this part, opening up the files. And this ought to be interesting to those of you who want facts. Give me the facts, the hard facts. And let's see. Antonio Parris is also part of all of that. He's been an investigator for many, many years. And he knows about aerial phenomena, and he has a lot of things like that he's going to be talking about. So these are people who have not been at this conference before.
Right.
So it ought to be interesting. Like I said, we're trying to add new blood, bring in speakers they've never heard before.
Right, and then add some new elements as well.
Yeah, because for so many years, we had the same speakers over and over again. And a lot of them, they just got used to them. It was like the old home week. That's what this conference has always been, a place for everybody to come that knows everybody and meet your old friends, even though it is growing so much. But so they didn't mind listening to the same speakers
again.
Well,
it was kind of old home week for the speakers, too.
Yeah, they knew everybody. But I decided we'll bring in some of the speakers that they haven't heard of before, the ones with new, fresh information. But do you have the flyer that has all the information in there?
Yeah.
We can talk about that, because I wanted to see what we had about Antonio. And Sherry Wild is another speaker. And she's also one of our authors with Ozark Mountain Publishing. We had her on the show twice in a row because she had so much information that we called her back for another show to talk about more. But Sherry Wild has had experiences with ETs and UFOs since she was a child. That's the part. Since she was a child, so she had a tremendous amount of experience with this and information. And when she wrote the book, I thought it was so good because it talks about how she began with fear, like most people do with the UFO situation. And then the more it worked out on through her life, she found out they weren't anything to be afraid of. They were just here to help. So she's a wonderful speaker, so she's going to be very good. And the book is out now, Forgotten Promise. It's out now. So she's going to be one of the speakers, too. Yeah, here's Antonio Parris, the founder and director of Aerial Phenomena, a former U.S. Army counterintelligence officer and Department of Defense counterintelligence special agent. And he was awarded the Bronze Star for combat operations in Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom. And he works for a science firm now, an engineering firm. But he's very much involved in UFO and space information for many years. You see, it says here he's also been on several TV shows, Unsealed, The Alien Files, and he's the author of The Aerial Phenomena, the Reviving Ufology in the 21st Century. But he said he's going to be talking about space science and the extraterrestrial hypothesis. So this is going to be different. It's more or less coming from the scientific viewpoint. So we got a lot of different angles that we're coming at here.
Right.
Okay.
Here's the beginning.
Here's Nick Pope. X-Files Reloaded. That's what he's going to be talking about. It says while he was working with the United Kingdom Ministry of Defense, he started declassifying and releasing the UFO files in 2008. And that's when other countries as Canada, Russia, and Brazil followed suit. Many believe that disclosure was imminent. And we know in China, they said they are releasing, they already have been for many years, they're releasing all their files also. So there's a lot of these countries are not holding back anymore. They're letting people know what's going on.
It's time.
It is time. Well, the U.S. just keeps saying they don't want to panic people. How they can panic people when everybody knows it's real.
Yeah.
The ones that don't are the ones with their heads in the sand. I had one person tell me, well, it can't be real, because if it was, the government would tell us. If it was real, the government's the last one that's going to tell you. But I've been investigating it, too, for 27 years. Yeah, that was about Antonio Paris. There's about Travis. Let's see who we have not talked about. Yeah, there's Linda. She's going to be talking about these ancient stone structures that were discovered in Turkey. Okay. Of course, we're going to have George Urie. And he came to our transformation conference last year, and he's really a nice guy. He's very funny. He is the host of Coast to Coast. And I know most of you out there, if you are radio listeners, you know about Coast to Coast. That has been around for so long. And it's the largest radio station in the world, with the most listeners in the world. I thought they said 30 to 40 million listeners at last count, because it's all over the world. When I've been on there, it seems like we could get calls back in. They start in Hawaii, and you can see them moving across the United States as the time zone change, showing how they're being received in all the different time zones.
Right.
But I was on that show when Art Bell was on. Then they had Mike Siegel after that, and then now George Nuri. He's been on there for quite a while, and I've been on his show for quite a while,
several times.
Yeah, several times on George Nuri's show. So he's going to talk about some of his things. This is mostly just answering questions from the audience.
Right, and the reason he's doing that is because he has so many guests and so many shows, and it's not everybody can get through and ask the question. So this way, like, if there's anything you ever wanted to know, ever wanted to ask him, you can come and just ask him.
This is finally a chance, because even though when you're on that show, you're on just about all night. It's a long show, and people are lined up. They've told me their switchboard is just lit up, trying to get through and ask questions. And they can't. So that's true. They finally just have to stop it. They have to get so many, and then there's so many people they can't. We get tons of email after I've been on there saying, I'm trying to get through last night, and I couldn't get through. Well, this is your chance, because George, instead of doing a lecture, he just takes questions from the audience. So if anybody has anything they ever wanted to know about all the tons of speakers he's had on there, it's a good chance to do it. And you get to meet him. He's a really nice person.
Well, and that's why we have some things designed so you can meet the speakers. I mean, we just had somebody call right before the radio show started, wanting to get tickets for the conference, and he was asking, is it really possible to meet some of the speakers? Is it really possible that you might run into them? It absolutely is, because it's not a huge convention center. It's big, but it's not huge. I mean, you will run into these people, and they're going to be mingling. They're going to be walking around. And then we've designed a dinner on Saturday evening just so you can meet them if you want to. And that one's limited to 200 people, so you know right there you're not in competition with as many people as you are at the conference with 700 people. So you will, you can meet them. That's absolutely fine. That some of them have tables in the vendor area so that you can talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they're roaming around. They'll
yeah,
be there
it's not
too.
Like you said, it's not these big convention
yeah.
centers. Eureka Springs is a small tourist town. Like we are up here, our town we live in is only 2,000 people. And that's a tourist town, so it's a nice-sized hotel and convention center, but not huge.
Right.
So it is, we just fill it up, that's all.
Yeah, all of our events, we like our speakers to be approachable, and we like them to mingle, we like them to get out there, because we like personal interaction with our people, with our fans and our audiences. And what we do.
And yeah.
People like it.
And I'm not secluded. I'm right down there in the middle of it too.
Yeah. So anybody you want to meet, they're there. They'll be there.
And just ask questions and buy their books or if they have books.
Mm-hmm.
But Hacktown was really nice. We were over in Istanbul. It was last year, about this time.
About a year ago, yeah.
About this time, I had to go to Istanbul. I've known Hacktown for a long time through the other UFO conferences. And he asked me to come, and I did a two-day seminar where I just talked for 2 days. And, you know, that's not hard for me to do. I can just talk. I talk on all the different subjects that I have written about. So we did that for 2 days with Hacktown. And so I asked him, would he come over for this? Because it's been a while since he's been to America. But he took us out on the Bosphorus in a boat to show us the one side is Europe and one side is Asia, and it was beautiful.
There were a lot of homes out there that were like princes, royalty homes and stuff along that water. Beautiful places.
So he really treated us well, showing us everything. So it's going to be a pleasure to have him over here and see our little part of the world.
We do mean little.
Yeah, big difference, because Istanbul is so crowded, but all these cities are that we go to. They're so huge and so crowded, like Beijing, but Beijing at least has big, wide streets. Istanbul is a little narrow, two-lane streets, and the cars can hardly get through.
Like England.
Yeah. He said, why don't they widen the highways, the streets? He said, we can't do that. There's apartment houses, and people got to have build more apartment houses for people to live.
Well, they said they make more money off the buildings than they do the streets, so they will keep the buildings right where they are.
Yeah, but they don't want to tear them down and make the streets wider. But here the people are crammed into the street. You can't, traffic jams everywhere. They even had civilians out there trying to direct traffic.
Well, that's why people like to come here. They get away from all that.
We don't have crowds here, except at this conference.
Right.
Okay, let's see what who else we've got here. Another one is Anthony Cataldo. He's our friend. He's coming from Hollywood. And he is just finishing up this movie now. And it's called 701 because he said whenever he was checking on all this, the Project Blue Book, and you, if you only remember, you wouldn't remember, the very first conference we ever did back in 1988 was we had the people from Washington come down who were the survivors, they were very old by now, of Project Blue Book and Project Grudge, talking about what they discovered. Of course, they were saying there was nothing to it, that everything was disproven, they were all, everything was identified, and no such thing as UFOs. Of course, we didn't like that. And the people in the audience only had 50 people, but they didn't like it either. But if nothing else, it showed us the background. I got the information on how it all began. And after that, we said, no, we're not into that. We know it's real, and we're going to go after the proof, not that it never happened. Well, Anthony Cataldo has gone over the Project Blue Book cases. He's even talked to the survivors, which are very old by now. And they said there was called 701 cases that were never identified. Out of all these thousands and thousands of cases they've had up until that time, unidentified flying objects of mystery events and sightings and things, it was all solved. It was all something that was known, an aircraft or a comet or clouds or swamp gas in one case. But there were 701 cases that they never could identify. So he says, what about those cases? They just brush them off. So that's what he made the movie about, was the ones that were not identified by the government. And that's why he calls the movie 701. And we spoke to him just a few months ago, because we see him regularly. And he's been investigating these cases, and he was telling us some that I've never even heard of. There was one, the one he's going to be focusing on, I believe, is the one that happened in Africa. And in Africa, they had a sighting with it at a school. And all the kids were standing out there in the schoolyard watching this huge UFO that stayed over the school for a long, long time. He said it got to the point that kids got bored, and then they finally went back inside. It was out there so long. But at that time, it made the news, and he went over there to find these kids, find out where are they now.
He didn't go over there. He got in contact with somebody who had investigated them, so he had contact with them.
Yeah, because I thought they'd all be Africans, but he said, no, there was a private school, so they were sent there from England, Australia, all over. So he wanted to contact these kids and find out what they remembered. But a lot of them had just kind of dropped off the radar track. He couldn't get a hold of them, and a lot of them just didn't want to be interviewed. But how many did he have?
Was it five?
We saw five that he brought to America when we were out there with the filming he was doing, and to see what they remembered. And it was quite interesting. But one thing was interesting, none of the boys wanted to come in and be interviewed. It was only the girls that agreed to tell their stories.
Yeah, but the boys might come forward after they
see it, you know. I wonder what that says about the male population.
Oh. That may not have been a big deal to them.
Well, I think it would if you're out there and the big, huge UFO is sitting over the school. But I guess it might have been fear at first, and after a while it's just, okay, let's go back inside. I think the teachers didn't even get excited after a while.
No, the teachers were in a meeting. My understanding, they were having a teacher meeting or something like that. That's why the kids were outside. They were having a meeting.
Yeah.
And by the time they were coming out, I think maybe they did see it, but it was right at the end or something. Then they were gone. So
maybe it was just for the kids then.
Right.
But he's going to be talking about that case, and we saw the people, of course, now they're adults, and they were telling us about their memory. But also, last time we saw him, which was just a few months ago, he had just come back from Brazil investigating a case down there that I had never heard of. I'd heard about the one in Africa, but I've never heard about this one. A weird animal that was sighted down in Brazil. And he said it's so far back in the jungles that hardly anybody ever goes back there. And it was not the, the chupacabra. That's a different one. You know, we never really even know what that is, but that's described as totally different. This is a different type of an animal. Well, that's what I told him. Tony, you got to come to our conference and talk about these cases. It'll all be in the movie, and he's going to talk about the movie and all the other things he's found out, because he did talk to people in Washington. He talked to priests. He talked to a lot of people that he's interviewed. But to me, it was interesting about the animal that nobody knows what it is. And it doesn't sound earthly, let's put it that way. So they're always finding strange animals, but this one doesn't sound like it belongs on the planet Earth. And I think they said they had drawings and pictures of it.
Right.
Didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to be talking about all of those cases. So we'll be able to hear about that.
And he's been newly appointed, if I'm right, as the director of MUFON now?
As a board director.
Board director,
yeah.
Okay. So that's something new. He's going to talk about that as well.
Yeah, he didn't intend that. It just happened. He said they asked him if he would be the board director of MUFON. So he's getting deeper and deeper into UFO stuff, whether he wants to be or not. Because he is a producer-director in Hollywood, and he's made lots of movies out there with big stars in them. So this would be interesting to talk to Tony and see what he's got. And maybe in another year or so, when the movie is done, we'll be able to show it.
Right, and that's one of the things that we've added this year is... The film premieres. And we've got just two films. One's a short one. It's excellent. We saw it at the AFME in Albuquerque.
In the film festival in Albuquerque this year in 2013.
Right. And, well, both of these films were there, and that's where we saw them. We
met the people who made them.
But they'll be showing, and then if it's, depending on how it's received, then what I envision is to expand then on that element and start having more films, having people submit them, you know, maybe we can have, you know, competitions. I don't know. We'll do something fun, you know, voting on them or something. So,
because
but definitely viewing them and premiering them.
Well, we know a lot of people do make films of things they've found and try to put together fun films. There are a lot of them are amateurs, but some of them do an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some of these at other places. And Zipper, that's the short one, that was done by amateurs, but it's very good.
Done, it's very good. I think it's on an $800 budget. I mean, it's amazing what they did.
And it's excellent. It's nothing amateurish about it at all.
Right. It's won all kinds of awards.
And they won an award at the film festival there, too, called Zipper. But the big one is The Hidden Hand. Who was that? John Carmack?
Carmen.
He's the one that made that. He's allowing us to show it at this. The Hidden Hand has to do with the history of the UFOs and the involvement with the government and how it's come up to now. And he interviews a lot of the people who've been involved in the whole thing, the investigators. His is done differently than Tony's is. So we don't have a copycat here. The Hidden Hand is written from one, shown from one viewpoint, and Tony's is another. So that's going to be shown. We said we're going to make that night into a movie night.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with it, and that's what I'm saying. We can expand more on it later and take suggestions, but we're going to have popcorn and soda and coffee. I mean, just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Movie night.
this is the last thing on that night.
That's on Friday.
On Friday, after the speakers and after everybody goes to eat, then they come back and have movie night.
Right.
And then you told them a little bit about the dinner, didn't you?
Yeah.
On Saturday night.
Right, that'll be Saturday night.
That's going to be in a different hotel.
Different location, because the location we're at didn't have enough, we don't have enough turnaround time for them to set up for a dinner. So we're going to take it to someplace else completely. And it's an old haunted hotel.
Yeah, Eureka. If anybody knows Eureka Springs, it is full of haunted hotels.
Right, so this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Crescent Hotel is full of ghosts. It's been on the Ghost Hunter so many times on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Eureka Springs makes...
It's always said these are one of the most number 10 haunted hotels in the United States is in Eureka Springs. The Crescent Hotel and the Basin Park mm-hmm. Hotel. Because we're going to have it in the Basin Park Hotel, downtown, old Eureka Springs. And that's going to be interesting.
I don't know if if you're not familiar with Eureka Springs, you need to come just for that. I mean, Eureka Springs is such a gorgeous little town.
Very different.
Yeah, it's quaint. It's just, people love it. it's a great getaway. You know, it's just a very different place.
They call it Little Switzerland because the houses are built hanging on the sides of the cliffs. Because we're in the mountains here. And that's because when they had the land thing, you know, way back when they were just giving land away, and you could have the land, you'd post it, this is my land. What'd they call that? The land rush. When they said everybody headed to the west, and whatever you come across, you can have. Well, Eureka Springs, they plotted the whole city out, and they had lots. And you drew a lottery. This would be your lot. You got that piece of land. But then when you go to find out where it was, the majority of them were hanging off the sides of the hills. So we got a lot of ravines and valleys and cliffs here in the Ozarks. Well, they had it, but they said you had a year, you had to put something on it, even if it was just a tent, to claim it was yours. So, it has the strangest looking houses you've ever seen. One church was on, believe it or not, because you enter the church from the steeple and go down into it, because the steeple's on one street and the other part.
Well, a lot of the businesses are that way. You go in one level, and then you walk down, and you're walking out on another street, you know, so you have, it's street level on both levels, but it's two different streets.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very strange town, and it used to be springs everywhere. That's why they call it Eureka Springs, and they were healing springs. Now they've closed most of those off because they figure health reasons and unsanitary, but I still think they were probably healthy. They just, everything's got to be standard nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very old, and there's some very old places in there. I can't remember some of those houses they have that are go way back. It's not even coming to me anymore because I wasn't expecting on talking about it. But anybody that comes likes to go down to the old part and just see a town the way it was in the 1800s.
Right, and that's why we like to have everything there. It's a destination. I mean, it's so cool. Everybody loves to go there. They have wonderful little quaint shops, and it's just a wonderful place to go and just walk around and shop.
Mm-hmm.
See all the different things.
So there's plenty of bus people add on some more days so they can stay and just do that.
Yeah, it doesn't have chains. It doesn't have, it's just very little shops, a lot of little shops and artistic things, handcrafts.
Yeah,
it's just a great place to go to.
You're not going
to
see any of the stuff you see in a city.
No.
Also shops that sell crystals and metaphysical things like that. Boy, we're sold out on our vendors, don't we?
Right, then it's completely full. We have a lot of, our vendors. vendors are very varied. We have some readers, and we have crystals, and we have, I don't know if it's listing them in there or not, some booksellers. We're trying not to have too many of one kind, so that way you get a lot of variety.
Mm-hmm.
Some UFO booths with UFO objects and memorabilia.
Yeah. But, the vendors come from all over, too. We have the same vendors that come to both of our conferences, and they keep repeating
every year. Oh, yeah, they're signing up. Usually when one conference is over, they're signing up for the next year. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. But that, the dinner is to hold 200 people, but we've already got 100 bought tickets for that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a meet and greet. I think we already explained that. And people, they'll be there, and they'll be able to talk to the... Did it beep?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't hear it beep. But they'll be able... It's a three-course meal, really, and they'll be able to meet with the
speakers.
Okay, do we have a caller?
Yep.
Hello.
I'm here. Hi.
Well, I can barely hear you.
My name. Can you hear me?
Yes, that's much better. Thank you.
All right, thank you. My name is Virginia, and I'm a real fan of your books, Dolores. I've read all of them except the last two, some of them twice. And I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
My question is, have you ever had anyone at this conference you're talking about today from that talked about Billy Myers' case?
Oh, yes. Yes, we're very familiar with those cases. Those were in the early days. We saw all the pictures, the videos, the movies.
Yeah.
I've
just been researching that, and I'm reading some of the books now that have been from Wendell Stevens' books that have been republished by a man named Drummond, I believe. And I'm reading those right now, so I'm finding them really interesting.
You know, the old ones, Wendell Stevens, he wrote about all those cases way back, and I think some people...
This is his books that have been republished.
Well, I heard that some people were taking the material and reissuing them. But the
originals are still
out there, too. But Wendell went over and interviewed Billy Meyer. Billy Meyer is the one that was in Switzerland.
Right, yeah.
And he took these magnificent photographs of these Pleiadian ships. They were...
They're amazing. I've been looking at them.
They were out over this ravine where you could not have faked them. And we saw the video where one was over a tree, and you could see the tree moving from the turbulence coming down from the craft above the tree. And
pretty amazing.
Because Billy Meyer only had one arm. And he had a little bitty camera that was hard for him to use with one arm. But he was accused of everything. The government tried to show he was a fake, and he wasn't.
They were really trying. Well, I'm enjoying reading the books, but I'm also back again reading your books about the people that you worked with that lived in the time of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And finding those. I'm rereading them again. Your books require more than one reading.
People say they go through them so fast, and they make all kinds of notes in them. But I've written four on UFOs.
Well, I've read some of those.
Yeah, it's
very,
very
interesting. There's information in layers. So every time you read the book, you'll get more information. It's like it comes off in layers.
That's true. I find that out.
Some people have told us that they read it and then they go back again and they see something totally different.
Yes. So in April this year, will there be anyone there talking about Billy Meyer's work?
Not his work specifically, because it's already been covered for so many years.
Ah,
that goes
okay.
way back.
Well, I guess I'm behind the time.
80s.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but,
thank
you
so much.
You know,
so
if you want to ask George Nuri a question, you could. You know,
yeah,
George
well,
Nuri
I'm a great fan of Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
I listen to Coast to Coast all the time. So.
Well, he has information about everything because he has so many guests. Maybe you could bring up the question to him. But are you just want more information, or do you have questions about Billy Meyer?
Yeah. Yeah, and he had Michael Horn on not too long ago, so I did listen to that.
Uh-huh.
That was interesting.
But we haven't had anybody about Billy Meyer because it's been so long.
Yeah, but isn't he still alive? Isn't he still alive? Isn't Billy Meyer still alive?
I don't know. I haven't heard about him for a long time.
Oh, really?
It was real big for many years, and he was still, they were trying to discredit him, and they did everything they could to,
blacken
his name. I think Linda Moulton Howe may have met him. She's going to be there.
Yeah, I really like her work. It would be fun to see her. I wish I could get there, but I don't know if that's possible.
But I haven't heard about him in so many years, I don't know if he's still alive or not. I guess we could Google it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Well,
nice
thank you, Dolores. Thank you so much, both of you. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Good night.
I do want to tell about something that I forgot about for the UFO conference. Lou Farish, when he died, he left a fund. And it's a scholarship fund. And the ones in charge of this, they're looking for people to send in applications. The fund is for researchers in the UFO field who need equipment for the investigations, or if they need something to help them with their work. They need money. They need funds. Not so much for UFO reading or studies, but actual investigations. And there are a lot of investigators out there, and they probably do need equipment. But so the call has been going out. If anybody is a serious investigator who needs money, they can apply for the scholarship. This is part of what Lou requested, and that's what the scholarship is for. So if you know anybody who's interested in investigations, please contact us here at Ozark Mountain, and we can put you in touch with the people who are responsible for giving the money.
We have a link on the website also.
Do we?
Yes.
To the scholarship fund.
They'll take them right to that website.
Uh-huh.
So that's on the Ozark UFO Conference website.
Okay. But, you know, a lot of investigators like to stay undercurrent. They don't want people to know what they're doing. And other ones don't care. They know it takes different sophisticated equipment, maybe to analyze samplings and things they found. And they would like to have better equipment. But just if you're interested, send in an application, and we'll put you in touch or use the link. Okay, I was trying to think if there was anything else. Those were the main things. That just occurred to me about that.
Right.
Do you think of anything else that we haven't covered about the conference? I don't know what happened to Travis, but we're going to have another one of the speakers will probably be on next week. Because we're not going anywhere now until the conference, so we're going to try to have these speakers as guests on here every week until the conference, which isn't very long.
No, it's like a month. I think it's just 4 weeks.
So that would only be like four of our speakers.
Not even four. No, it would be three, because 4 weeks is the conference. So we only have three open nights for shows.
So I'm going to try to get three of our speakers to come on in the next 3 weeks. And re-interview before the conference.
Right.
Okay. But, yeah, we got our hands full trying to put it together, and it's coming along.
It's doing very well.
Yeah. But this is the oldest in the United States, and I know you'll be pleased because it's such a long reputation. Just about everybody in the UFO field has spoke there at one time or another. I remember John Mack was the first conference he ever spoke at. Came out of the closet when he was with Harvard, and they found out when he was investigating what he was writing about, they were going to take his tenure away, and he wouldn't be able to teach there anymore if he didn't deny what he was doing. So he decided to come out and started speaking, and so he came to our conference first. And I remember he got a standing ovation.
That's nice.
And one of the things I remembered him saying at that conference was, you will never understand UFOs if you don't understand metaphysics. And it was the first time I ever heard an investigator say that.
And that's very obvious now.
And it is now, but back then.
You get it now.
Back then, nobody
knew.
Well,
it's obvious to us. Those that are still wondering if they exist, they haven't figured that part out yet.
Yeah. So John Mack was one of the bravest ones that went out there and risked his whole career. So he started at our conference, and so we've had some pretty big speakers over the year. Okay, well, I think we've covered this pretty much. Tell them how they can find out more on our website.
Well, the website for the UFO conference is Ozark, it'd be www.ozarkufoconference.com. We also have a new Ozark Mountain website coming out this next week, and it will have links to this, and I believe on the DoloresCannon.com site, we have it on there as, you know, because it's an event that you'll be at, so you can come from several different angles, and then you can link right into it, you can reserve your seating right there online, it has a seating chart,
mm-hmm.
You can reserve it right then. They're going very quickly. Somebody called right beforehand, they said, is this really all the seats that are left? Yes,
that's true.
So.
We found out last year we had to assign seats, otherwise it's chaos, it's pandemonium.
Well, it wasn't fair. We had people coming in, just walking in, and getting better seats than people that had pre-registered months before, and we just didn't feel that was fair.
Before, you've been able to just walk in and pay, but now you can't.
Well, I mean, you might be able to, but...
It was too many people before.
We want to reward the ones that are having... that are loyal, and they come in way before.
Mm-hmm. In the old days, you walk in at the last minute, and you come in and get a seat, but it's not happening now. It's getting too big. Mm-hmm. But still, you're going to like it. We're working out a lot of that part. Okay, and that's Ozark, O-Z-A-R-K.
Yeah. Ozark UFO Conference.com.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so I guess we've come to the top of the hour anyway. And thanks for listening tonight, and I guess we're not going to try Travis again.
We're going to call him Elusive Travis.
He keeps saying maybe he was picked up and taken somewhere.
Well, I don't know what's going on. Well, you're just going to have to come to the conference to see
and
him.
And talk to him there,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm not going to try again. We're going to keep with the other people now.
Right.
All right, but thanks for listening tonight.
Make it great.
Good night.